fan is blowing on our little pieces of paper. Thanks, Sean. Good morning. And welcome to our final service of our, we have an unofficial school term here, right? So we have a season from September to now where we have ministry to babies, to children, and to youth. And we're drawing to a close and marking that today. So it's lovely. I'm so glad we can all be together for that today. And we're going to have a chance to acknowledge those who have been leading these ministries over this past year later in the service. Now, raise your hand if anybody is waiting for their report card still. Anybody? Anybody still having to write report cards, or are they already in? Yeah? Any marking that still needs to be done? A few people? And the rest of you, if you're not waiting for a report card, do you remember waiting for a report card? Do you remember the feeling that, well, in me, it happened about here, somewhere between the bottom of my ribs to my belly button? There was a feeling in there that wasn't very nice. I didn't like that feeling. Can somebody, does anybody else hear me? Did anyone have that feeling? So put your stand up and say, what does it feel like waiting for a report card, or what can it feel like? Nervous. So we've got nervous from Emmanuel up here. Anyone else? Yes. Are you waiting still, Xavier? You waiting for your report card? I bet you are, yes. Okay, and your brother, Emmanuel, what does it feel like? Exciting. Well, oh, so you, nice. You have been a well-raised child, to put things in good perspective. I am... God bless your mom and dad for their hard work. So that's lovely. So that's excited. But so I'm really thrilled about that. I am guessing that a lot of us have a feeling, had a feeling of anxiety, of nervousness, of stress. I can remember, I was remembering this as I was getting ready, back in the 1970s and 80s when I went to school in Toronto, there was the same report card envelope that was used all year. So your parents would sign it. So in September, it would come home, they would sign it, it would come back, and then that same envelope would be reused for the next report card, the next, so I could see my mom and dad's signatures on the envelope as it landed on my desk. So that kind of added to the stress and the strain, because I remembered that I was going to go home and talk to my mom and dad about what was in my report card, which also made me feel nervous. Now, the really interesting thing is that sometimes, you might be surprised to hear this, some of you, but sometimes people think that God gives us a report card, that we're waiting to get a grade from God. The thing is that God did not send Jesus Christ to judge us or to grade us in the way that we might think. We don't have to be scared about what God thinks of us, because we know. We know that God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to save us once and for all on the cross. And so I give thanks to God who has brought us here today. And I also give thanks to God that he loves us so much, more than we can know. But I also know that God wants good things for us. And one of the ways I know that God wants good things for us is that I read the Bible. And I know many of us read the Bible. And I wanted to look at Psalm 23 together. Let's look at a couple of verses from Psalm 23, and we're going to put them up on the screen. So, Echo, could you put the first one up? Could someone read it out loud in a big voice, what they see on the screen? Jeremy.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Great. So what does it mean if the Lord is our shepherd? Just a quick ideas here. What would it mean for the Lord to be my shepherd, your shepherd? What does it mean to have someone who shepherds you? Yes, Emmanuel. He keeps us safe. Awesome. He keeps us safe. Beautiful. Anyone else? What does it mean to have a shepherd? Oh, sorry. Moses. They pardon him? He keeps us safe and he guards us. And maybe as a shepherd leads you, right? Keeps you safe. The next bit, I shall not want. What does that mean to you? I shall not want. God gives us what we need. Now, is that in the future tense, past tense, or what? Grammar geeks? Yeah, it's in the present tense, in the active tense. I shall not want... Well, so actually, that's future. Sorry, beg your pardon. I'm thinking about the version I read this morning. My gosh, I don't need a thing. I shall not want... So it means that there is no need in this translation. There's no need in the future, right? I'm not going to be looking for things, right? Now, someone at the 8:30 made a really important distinction, and I loved it, and I want to make, share it with you, that here what the psalmist is reminding us is God is giving us what we need, not necessarily what our hearts desire, but God is our shepherd, and he gives us what we need. Echo, would you be able to show us the next slide? Do you see this beautiful slide? You can't see the slide because the screen's not on, guys. You need to see it too. Do you see that on the screen? I love this picture. Could someone else read, could I have another volunteer to read this verse in a big voice? Kevin. Lovely. What are some feelings that you get from this verse? Dan says he feels peace from this verse. Rest. Anyone else? I heard a voice, but I couldn't see you. Okay, sorry, Eunice. Feeling of satisfaction. Can anybody go so far as to imagine being on holiday with this verse? Green pastures, still waters. So I was thinking about being in a canoe, someone else is paddling, and I'm lying back and my fingers are dragging in the water. Right? That sense of still waters, right? Emmanuel. It makes you feel like you're at Bon Echo. And say a little bit more. It's a provincial park. And is it a place for fun stuff? That you go with your family. Okay, so maybe Emmanuel is reminding us, maybe this verse is a little bit like being on holiday, being at rest, knowing that God is our shepherd. Sarah? Okay, so Sarah's saying, if I were a sheep, if she were a sheep, if we were the sheep, that we'd be really happy because if you're a sheep and you're near green pastures, you've got something to eat. And you're near still waters, you can drink something. And also, notice what isn't here, there are no wolves. There are no hunters. You're safe. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so Marion's sharing that sheep will only drink from still waters, I guess because they're safe, and they're very smart sheep. Nice. Okay, Echo, will you show us one more slide? So let's just one more slide to look to remind ourselves what we know about God, what we know from Psalm 23. It's this. I love the way this verse looks. I'm going to read it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love this. This is telling us that God's love is on the move. It's God's love is coming right towards me, towards you, within me, within you. That God's love will chase us no matter how far we go away from him. And one day we're going to be safe and sound in God's house. And our lives will overflow with blessing from God. So all of these verses come from Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 is in the Bible. And the Bible tells us about who God is. And his will for us, and what we can expect from him, and what kind of person God is, and how we can come to know him. And as we experience God's love, we can experience it, we know from scripture, but also from the world around us. That's a dawdle, right? Because God made the world, and God made everything that is in the world. And even more so, hopefully, we come to know God's love by being in a community of faith. So today, if you could go to the next slide, I want to give thanks for the people in our community who have taken special time to teach and care and love the babies and children and young people of the Res and of our wider neighborhood. So could you go back to the nursery one? We're actually gonna ask people to stand up at the announcements. So if you're on that list, just get yourself ready. Okay, so we've got our nursery volunteers, and then Echo, our Res Kids teachers and assistants, our youth leaders. It's an amazing list. And finally, thank you, Echo. We give thanks for milestones. So last week we marked the four young people who are graduating from secondary school and are moving on to the next chapter, which was an amazing day. If you were here and you heard the words that were spoken by their dads, it was very moving. We give thanks for them, and we give thanks that they are part of our family, church family. And today we're remembering and recognizing those who are, we have three who are moving from grade 5 to grade 6, which means they get to move from Res Kids to youth. And and I give thanks for that as well, and for them. Thank you, Echo. So these are all special things, and we'll take more time later in the service to give thanks for those people. We give thanks to God as we look back, but also we don't want to stop there. Sean and I want us to look forward together. So I'm going to pass the baton over to him.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, so looking forward together. Looking forward together. How do we do that? How do we do that together as a community, not just as individuals within our own individual lives? How do we actually do that as a community? This might be a bit of a challenge when we think about it, right? Now, I think that Psalm 23, do you want me to come a little further ahead? Is that helpful? I think Psalm 23 helps us in this regard too. Let's go back to it. Let me encourage you to grab a pew Bible, page 510. We're just going to quickly bounce through this psalm together. Page 510. Now notice that this psalm not only tells us about who God is and what we can trust with respect to who he is. Julie did a wonderful job of leading us in that regard. It also takes us on a journey. It also takes us on a journey. Notice where we begin in verse 2. Where do we begin? Julie's already mentioned this, but where do we begin in verse 2? In verse 2, where do we begin? What kind of setting are we in? Green pastures, in a meadowy kind of place, and a little bit of an expansion there with still waters. That is a beautiful kind of place, an oasis in a way. The psalmist will go on to talk about how our soul is restored by being in this kind of place. So it's not like we began there. We came into that kind of place. God has led us into that kind of place, right? So meadows and still waters. Oh, those still waters remind me of fishing. Might remind us of all kinds of things. Maybe a cool drink, that sort of thing. But for me, this is brook trout fishing, which is coming up later in the summer for me. I'm getting distracted. Next, where do we go? So meadows and river, streams, cool water, still water. Where do we go next? Paths, right paths. So now we're on a kind of winding path and a narrow path, a right path for his name's sake. A little further along, where do we end up? We're now in a dark valley. So notice that the psalmist is leading us on a journey from one place to another. And we began in a fairly peaceful setting. Now we're in a fairly dark place, right? But it goes on. And it goes on. Even in that dark place, God is with us. And where do we finally end up in verse 6? Where do we finally end up? In God's house, right? So we've journeyed together into a meadowy place with still waters on a pathway that takes us through a dark valley and out the other side. It's true that God comes looking for us in his love and invites us simply to rest in him. This is so important to remember and to trust. for weary, restless people like ourselves, isn't it? And I think we have much to look forward to this summer in taking a rest at some point. At the same time, God joins with us in every season of life, during good times and bad, to lead and to guide and to protect and to comfort every step of the way. David, the psalmist, is banking on this, and he leads us to bank on it too. So here we are at the res, and we're poised. We're looking out not only to the summer, but we're looking out further than that, all the way to the fall and to the next season. What does God have for us in the season ahead? What does he have for us? Now, you might remember back to February. We might not like to do this, going back to February after all. We're glad to be out of the winter season and so on. But you might remember back to February at Vestry when we began exploring next steps at the res. There were lots of questions that came to the fore. What are we doing together and how are we doing it with each other in community, right? Well, as a leadership team, we've been thinking and praying about this a lot. In every one of our meetings, we've come around to it. How do we find our way into the next season? And how do we do that together as an entire community where we get to participate in it? Not only in what's going to happen, but also in the visioning of it a little bit. That's a challenging question, isn't it? How do we all do that? Look around for a second. We are a family here. We're a community. But my gosh, we're coming from all kinds of different angles into this particular place. So how do we do it together? Well, last month, we invited, as a leadership team, we invited a facilitator to come alongside of us and to help us to answer these questions on a day-long retreat. And his name is Peter Roebelin, this facilitator. Here he is right here, smiley fellow that he is. Peter's a gentle soul, and he did a wonderful job with us on that particular day. He's got lots of leadership experience in a variety of churches and not-for-profit organizations. He's currently the president of the Charis Foundation, which funds a number of church and parachurch organizations. Peter did a wonderful job. We weren't sure what to expect of our time together, but we actually had an amazing day. It was very surprising. Now, one of the most important things that Peter did with us is to help us to turn our attention to Jesus in listening prayer and to trust that he could lead us if we would just let him. Now, that might sound a little strange at first, like kind of mysterious and mystical. How in the world can Jesus lead us? He's not physically present to us and all. But my goodness, we discovered all kinds of amazing things in our prayer time and things that were ultimately practical by the end of the day. It was incredible what God's Spirit was stirring up for us together as a leadership team. Now, we came away from that day so encouraged that we thought, you know what? We need to do this as a church family. We need to do something like this together, where we learn to turn our attention to Jesus together and trust that he can lead us. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this together. As many of us know, we have a fall retreat each year in the last week of September. This year, we're going to have Peter come back and join with us as a facilitator for a day of worship and listening prayer, kind of like we had as a leadership team, but on a bigger scale with all of us. Now, the intention here is to listen together as we discern next steps for ourselves at the res. We'll include some of our recent learning as a leadership team, but we're also going to break new ground together as a community. We're going to be in new waters together. And Peter is going to guide us, and he's going to do this with the help of Psalm 23. We are going to be spending that day and the next day on the Sunday walking through Psalm 23 as we listen to Jesus together, who we know as the Good Shepherd, our Good Shepherd. So here are a few details that are coming up. Take note of these. Some of the things that are the same from past years that you can count on, that we're going to gather. We're going to gather together and join together for the Saturday and the Sunday. That's September 29th and 30th. There are going to be catered meals. No one is going to have to spend their time making, you know, meals and doing lots of prep, because we want to maximize on our ability to be fresh with each other in community. So there are going to be catered meals, and this is going to be a family-friendly time. This is going to be a time where kids are more than welcome. In fact, we want to have our kids involved with us and our youth involved with us in the listening and the learning together. So we're going to have age-appropriate ways of doing this. What's new for this year? We're going to stay here at home. We're going to stay at the Res this year. And one of the reasons why we want to do that is to be as inclusive as possible. We know that not everybody can go away on retreat, partly for a cost each year and partly because it's a long way and maybe you can only afford one day. This year, we're staying here to be as inclusive as possible. So this is going to be good, I think. Secondly, instead of having someone come and speak to us or even having speakers within our own community, we are going to practice listening together, reflecting together, dreaming together, and sharing together. And Peter, again, is going to help facilitate this. And we're going to have exercises that are going to help to facilitate it. And I know at least one person is really excited about this, Jeremy Davies. We're going to have an optional campout night here. So you can stay overnight if you want to stay overnight. And this is for kids, for youth, whoever wants to stick around overnight. This could be a little bit of an adventure. We're going to have this as an option as well. Most importantly, though, save the date. September 29th, September 30th. Two different days, right, with the option of staying overnight. But please set aside those dates on your calendar. I think that they're going to be really important for us together as a community. The hope is that we have two, three, four things, right, that get stirred up for us and that afterwards, as a leadership team, we can point to and to say, how are we going to support these things? Because we know, and we were all there, that God was leading us into those important things in those 2 days. Sound good? That's kind of the idea. So save the date, September 29th and 30th. That's all that I have to say. There will be more to share in the coming weeks and months. But let's be praying together. And let's be leaning into this with anticipation, even as we take a bit of a rest over the summer months. Sound good? Let me pray for us. Not only as we kind of celebrate where we've come to, but also as we look forward. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, for your faithfulness, for your love, that you invite us to come to that meadow, that you invite us to come to that spring of water, to rest with you. Thank you so much for this. We need it. And we're looking forward to a good time this summer of just resting. Thank you so much for the good things that you've been doing in our community with our within the nursery and the kids ministry and youth. We're grateful. As we look forward, we ask that you'd be stirring our hearts, that you'd be preparing us to be joining together when we return in September. Help us to be listening to you, even over the summer months, in quiet moments. What is it that you're doing in our own individual lives, in our families, in this community, in this church body together? Help us to hear it, and help us to bring this together when we come back in September. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.